What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is June 11th, 2024. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you doing there, Mark?
Yeah, man. Going to have a fun show. We're talking about our long national nightmare is over. That's right. Career criminal Hunter Biden has been brought to justice by, I'm assuming, a super team, something like the Avengers or Batman and Flash. It's so dumb. Everyone's decided this is going to be a big deal, so I figure we should talk about it. But about why it shouldn't be a big deal or whatever, but it's all stupid. Democrats have fumbled themselves into an extremely stupid situation, which is par for the course when you're institutionalists. Institutionalists and the other team isn't, and it's pretty funny. Couple things before we get to the show. The Republican nominee for governor of North Carolina, guy we talked about before, Mark Robinson, who's the current lieutenant governor. He had an old interview from 2018 surface where he insinuated the United States government was involved in both the attack on Pearl Harbor and the death of General George Patton.
That's a new one to me, anyway. This is exciting, new, insane conspiracy theory. This guy's good for that. This guy exclusively says insane stuff, right? We've talked about him before. I mean, have to imagine he's a rising superstar because every single quote I've ever seen from him is bafflingly crazy. So he's off to a good start. Yeah,
and the theory is both conspiracies were to help Joseph Stalin because the American government, FDR, was a communist or something. I don't fucking know. But Patton died in a low speed car accident in Germany immediately following the war. And it's kind of a Nazi dog whistle. You got to be deep in the lore to really understand what he's going for there. But Patton was the military governor of Bavaria. That was his last post. And he sort of resisted denazification efforts because he wanted to be in the war, but Nazis did not hit for him. Far preferred them to the communists. So he thought the theory here is that because Patton was resisting denazification, that the U.S. government killed him so the Soviet Union could become preeminent or something. So I don't know. Anyways,
it also kind of sort of implies that the philosophy here is that, Nazis hit harder than communists. Anything's better than communists, including Nazis. So it's that's pretty. That's also pretty par for the course. Recently, they've been implying that in one fashion or another for the past few years. So I guess sort of checks out.
Yeah. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak called an election for July, I think, and it's been going swimmingly. The Tories are probably going to get wiped out by Labour, but he had he announced the election in a speech outdoors in the rain while the Labour Party played a song trying to drown him out, all very stupid and silly. Sunak also got in trouble because there was a big D-Day ceremony for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And he skipped out on it to go do an interview to try to save his electoral chances. And of course, that was a huge, another controversy from that. Joe Biden gave a speech where he said fascism is bad and American conservatives took that as an assault on Trump.
Yeah,
so that was funny.
Which sort of checks out. This British election thing, right? I know we could be here all day trying to unravel all this, but so he called for the election, right? Which is how it works somehow or another. They don't have regularly set elections like we do. It's a situation like this, right? But also, every bit of polling and everything indicates that the Tories are like the GOP over there, that they're going to get smoked, right? So. A, why did he do that? But also B, there were European elections recently too, and in France and whatnot, where the version of European MAGA wrecked shit, right? So in the UK, the liberals or the liberal equivalent is looking for a blue wave, but on the continent of Europe, it's went the exact opposite direction, and all this is happening at the same time. What the fuck is going on over there?
I don't know. EU elections are so Labour is they're running to the right of the Tories and a bunch of shit like immigration. The UK has gotten a position where the Tory plan to ship all migrants to a concentration camp in Rwanda isn't hardcore anti-immigrant enough or something. So it's fucking nonsense. But Nigel Farage, Farage did get hit with a milkshake last week, which is a tradition in British politics, throwing milkshakes at politicians. And I really think we need that here. Yeah, it's the acknowledgement that our politics is fucking stupid. So all these dumbasses can get hit with milkshakes. And I just think we got to take it.
Yeah, we only had that shoe situation with W. Bush that one time. And that's the only thing I can remember being hurled at an American politician. So, yeah, we should be hurling more shit at them, generally speaking. And, you know, milkshake, it's not a brick. You know what I mean? It's not so bad. So,
Speaking of how stupid our politics has gotten, have you, I wanted to talk about the single most deranged thing I read about Trump's conviction. And you got it. This is at the table here. There's a cult of Barron Trump.
Yeah.
On the right.
I mean, that don't surprise me at all, just because, like, I mean, I've seen plenty of posts from them over the years about, like, you know, basically wanting the Trump family to install their own monarchy or dictatorship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, said like, oh, that I've seen the years broken down where it's like, we get Trump through this far. And then after that, we get Ivanka or whoever. And then, you know, and they've got it all figured out for like the next 50 years of Trump stuff. So I'm not surprised that some of them are hard up for Barron too.
Yeah. So they'll do stuff like Photoshop him as Caesar. This is how, like, the right loves Caesar. Right. So by the way, Barron didn't ask for any of this. He's like a 17, 18 year old kid who's like going off to college in the fall somewhere. And like, as far as I know, he's just a kid. I don't know anything about him. Nobody does. So, but here's a quote. Here's a tweet with So I'm told that one day he will cross the Potomac with 10,000 men to dissolve the Senate. I'm told that he will do these things and become my God, Emperor, and yours, because he is 6'7" with an aquiline nose. Was that mean horse-like or something? Anyway,
I have no idea, but it looks sort of Romany. He got a Romany nose, I guess.
Yeah. Good looking kid.
He does kind of look like, that profile of him kind of looks like it should go on like an ancient Roman coin or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's got that kind of look to him.
So the piece I read about Trump's conviction, the headline on it is Young Trump Just Found His Batman Origin Story. All right. Batman has a lot of daddy issues. His father was a good man who worked to clean up Gotham, only to get gunned down by the very people he tried to help. Bruce Wayne dedicated his life to finishing his father's mission, albeit in an unorthodox fashion.
That's such a funny way to describe that. Albeit in an unorthodox fashion, meaning dressing up like a bat and beating the shit out of people at nighttime. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is a pretty unorthodox approach.
There are a lot of similarities between Bruce and Barron. Both grew up privileged with rich and powerful fathers. They've seen what a corrupt system can do to a good man, and both stood by as their fathers were torn apart for daring to strive for better. And whether it's an armored tank that runs on jet fuel or Barron's hulking 6'7" stature, they're both absolute units.
That's a little homoerotic, I feel like. Like, mm-hmm. You're really into this teen boy's physique, which I guess is kind of in keeping with the Roman theme they're working with here. But yeah, no, mm-hmm. I mean, this shit is wild even for them. Also, Caesar, he overthrew the Republic, right? And, you know, became Caesar.
Yeah, to keep the Senate from holding him accountable for basically committing war crimes.
Right. So also funny that they, like, you know, openly profess their admiration for that parallel. As they see it. Like, they really don't even try to hide any of this shit anymore.
Right. But so worshiping a Caesar is so funny. Like, he was unpopular enough in his own time where a bunch of people stabbed him to death. It's like, so out of, yeah. Anyway, let me quote here this last line. Democrats have crossed the Rubicon, and a young, strong, and handsome American Caesar might be fully on the table. Okay, but it was Caesar that crossed the Rubicon? Right.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Like, what the fuck? Who's crossing the Rubicon? Who's the good guy here? I don't really know. Anyway, it's all so stupid. Let's get to it.
It's all so stupid. Let's get to it. Producer Matt is with us doing his thing. This is Weekly Skews. Before we continue, I'd like to remind you of a few things. As per usual, first, if you'd like to see me do stand-up comedy live and in person, and you should, let's face it, then go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. I'm actually going to be kind of sort of local next week. I got Orange County and Oxnard, and then going up to San Jose after that, then Tulsa, Hartford, Albany, Syracuse, Brooklyn, and a lot of other fun places coming up in the near future. So go to treycrowder.com. While you're there, you can check out the link to me and Corey's book, Around Here and Over Yonder. It's a comedic travel guide around these United States and England and Scotland. It's a lot of fun. And then lastly, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. You go to weeklyskews.com/more, or you can just go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. Sign up on there. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes, 2 of them a month. We cover things that, like, get pushed out of the main show or come up in between, or just stuff we want to talk about. It's a lot of fun. Get some more skews in your life. and support the show in the process. As Mark said earlier, as he alluded to on tonight's show, we're going to be talking about far and away the most landmark set of convictions to come down in American politics in the past month. We're talking about Hunter Biden getting convicted on 3 felony charges of lying on a background check for a gun that he got. So it's the discourse has been predictably stupid, and we'll talk about it all a little later. But first, of course, we begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. How about that? No fart. What do you think?
No fart. We heard the complaints. Yeah. We got the complaint box out. We saw the complaints about the fart.
But there's at least a little bit of a pro fart contingent, though, out there. It's like, I don't have a voice in this. Anyway, tonight's DD. Oppress people who refuse to compromise into being even more repressed. This is about Justice Alito's having a heck of a month.
More controversy this morning surrounding Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito and his wife after they were secretly recorded at a gala dinner last week. Alito, approached by Lauren Windsor, a progressive activist known for recording conservative political figures while posing as an ally. Alito, asked by Windsor about a nation divided between left and right, saying,
"One side or the other is going to win. There can be a way of living together peacefully, but it's difficult, you know, because there are differences on fundamental things that really can't be compromised."
After Windsor said the country needs to return to a place of godliness, Alito responding, "I agree." The conversation recorded during the Supreme
Court. So our new weekly Supreme Court scandal. Actually, there are several Supreme Court scandals this week, but this is the main one we're going to talk about. We'll get to it a little bit in a second. So this woman named Lauren Windsor, who's a essentially did a reverse. What was the guy on the right who was doing this, entrapping people into making dumb comments on wires?
From
Project Veritas.
Yes, yeah. Project Veritas. I don't remember his name, but yeah, that guy. Yes.
James O'Keefe.
That's right.
So she bought a ticket to this conservative gala last week and just walked up to Justice Alito and his wife, we'll get to in a second, and just asked them, "Hey, are you insane?" They're like, "Yes, here's 10 insane things I want to say." And yeah, like my thing is, if this is the kind of shit they're saying to strangers, what the fuck are they saying in private to like trusted political allies?
I admire the stones on this Windsor lady, because I feel like in this day and age, and the world we live in now, like repeatedly pulling that off is pretty wild. It seems like it'd be easy enough to figure out, especially if you're at the highest reaches of power. So the fact that they don't even apparently check, you just walk up and be like, "I hate trans, love Jesus," and they're like, "I'll spend an hour with you. Why not?" Just some random person is surprising to me. But yeah, no, I agree. Like they immediately get in that, they're in a comfort zone, feeling like they don't have to sort of, bullshit their way through any of these answers. So they just let her hear it. I know we're going to get to it, but she also interviewed his wife, and it's like with the Jenny Thomas, it seems that she's easily as crazy as Alito, apparently. Mm-hmm. Like she said some real wild shit.
Yeah. And talking about how they'll talk to anybody, like Martha Ann Alito, part of her beef is feels like she's ostracized from Washington, the social scene because of her politics. So I think they're just lonely. Like she doesn't get invited to the cool, I don't know what a cool Washington, D.C. party is, like the Raytheon Met Gala or whatever.
She lost her balcony seat at their opera house there or something like that. I'm literally pulling that from that show, The Golden Age, or whatever it is on HBO. That fancy New York
Gilded people. Age.
Gilded Age. Yes. That's literally where I got that from. I don't know what fancy people do, but yeah.
So the frightening part of Leto saying, "Well, one side is going to win," right, is like the kind of cases he's talking about. He's not talking about like business regulation stuff, although he is hardcore into that, against that. But like he's talking about minority rights. So like when you say one side's going to win and one side's going to lose, like the argument here is between like gay people saying we want to be left alone and the other side saying, well, we don't want to leave gay people alone.
That's been the whole thing the whole time. It's like it shouldn't even be political. I've thought that since, because as I've said many times before, the first thing I ever cared about politically as a child, a teenager was gay rights because of my Uncle Tim and being defensive about gay people and not liking homophobia and shit. And even then I felt like, why is this this shouldn't be a political issue. It's like just the idea of like, why do you, it ain't none of your goddamn business. Why do you care? Like they literally, all they want is they being LGBT people is to just be treated the same as everybody else. Mm-hmm. And other than that, be left to live their lives. But the only things I've ever fought for is just not being dehumanized and beaten and killed and all that shit. And it seems like it's, you know, shouldn't be an outsized ass to me. But yeah, but the right position the whole time is no, we do not want to give you that. Right. We are not okay with you literally existing publicly in this country. We find that to be an affront to the values that we hold dear. And so we're going to fight right. tooth and nail to stop it. And they try to couch it in being pedophilia and all that crazy slippery slope argument and all that. People will be banging their dogs, all that shit too. But that's just them rationalizing the fact that they just don't want these people around.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like the absolutely like will absolutely refuse to mind their own fucking business. Right. It reminded me of this old, like I went and found this old C.S. Lewis quote that I couldn't quite remember. Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep, but those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end if they do so with the approval of their own conscience. Now, our problem is we get the robber barons too, right?
Right.
We got the robber barons and the moral busybodies teaming up. So while yes. the barons rob us blind, the busybodies torture us. They're on the same side.
Good point. And C.S. Lewis, he's a big God guy, wasn't he?
Kind
of indicative of how that has changed the people who mm-hmm. adhere to that moral philosophy, how the way they've morphed over the years.
Yeah. This brings us to Martha Ann, the same Lauren Windsor, the same documentary filmmaker, interviewed her and got her to say some crazy shit. She was talking about how she said, let me say, you know what I want? I want a Sacred Heart of Jesus flag because I have to look across the lagoon at the Pride flag for the next month.
Right.
How fucking rich and out of touch you have to be if your main complaint to be what you see when you look out over your lagoon.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like they take just that flag being there all the way across the damn lagoon, which, yeah, like you said, I hardly ever look across lagoons. I don't even know where the closest lagoon
is. I've never looked out on a lagoon in my life.
Right. As far as I know. Yeah. But yeah, the fact that all the way on the other side of the lagoon is a flag that you don't like. And that's like the worst problem that this lady is like, that is driving this lady up the wall. Like that's the worst thing she has to deal with in her life. That and not being invited to the, you know, white lady social hour or whatever in DC.
Yeah.
And she's furious, absolutely furious about all of it.
She goes on to complain about how her husband's asked her to like pretend to be more sane to stop embarrassing him. But then she talks about how she can't wait till she's quote free of this nonsense where she can hang up whatever flag she wants. I basically saying she wants Trump to win so Alito can retire and she can hang flags and nobody can complain about him. She says, I'm going to send them a message every day. Maybe every week I'll be changing the flags. There'll be all kinds. I made a flag in my head. This is how I satisfy myself. I made a flag. It's white and has yellow and orange flames around it. And the middle word is vergogna. Vergogna in Italian means shame. She spells it out. Shame, shame, shame on you. She wants to make a shame flag in response to the pride flag.
It's kind of funny that, I don't know, to fly a shame flag, like, you know, in your own yard or whatever. Like, I feel like you can very easily interpret that as like, you know, that you are, this is a house of shame. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you don't put on you after shame, if you just put a word that means shame and like a banner above your own house that says shame, it seems like a scarlet letter or something. I don't know. But yeah, this, like, again, she's on like a flag crusade in her head because people had the audacity to question her flag choices. So now she's like making a whole, like, flag agenda that she's like fantasizing about all the different kinds of flags she's gonna fly to own the libs and all this stuff. And it's just, I just cannot imagine living my life like this, especially if I was this rich and everything and, you know, just fucking, I don't know, crochet or something like that, or, you know, go out on the lagoon, do lagoon shit, you know,
like, hang out with your fucking grandkids.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's a good one. You would think too busy flagging.
Also, just to remind everybody, last year, the Supreme Court's conservative supermajority, which Alito is a part of, ruled that businesses are allowed to legally discriminate against gay customers. So, which I'm sure is based upon sound legal reasoning and not just his fucking insane prejudices. And another part, like, she's talking about spelling shame out in Italian. Alito's Italian, obviously, but she's not, for reasons we know for sure in a second. So, like, what is her besides being married to an Italian, does she just like it because of the birthplace of fascism? Because she goes on, she talks about the justice's wife gets quieter, and her tone turns more serious. Quote, look at me, look at me. I'm German. I'm from Germany. My heritage is German. You can come after me. You come after me. I'm going to give it back to you.
Well, that's debatable. That last part, I feel like, I feel like Germany was given more than they could give back at least a couple of times that I can recall. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not like that was proven to be a fatal mistake going after the Germans.
Let me find this. This really made me laugh earlier. There's a quote from 1940 when after America declared war. Sorry, before we declared war, we were doing the military buildup for World War II. Congress had just voted for $1.5 billion budget increase for the Navy. And Hitler was told about that. He joked, what is America but beauty queens, stupid records in Hollywood? So get fucked, Hitler.
Yeah.
So they had to finally file their financial disclosures. Here's our biweekly Supreme Court scandal. Clarence Thomas finally got around to actually declaring all of it, and it was $4 million in vacations and gifts that he's been given.
Over the course of his tenure or what? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the time frame? Okay.
I didn't see a time frame. It's whenever they're required to report. And the justices, all nine justices combined, declared $6.5 million in gifts, which should be a scandal for pretty much every single one of them, although the liberals got way less. But Thomas got $4 million of the $6.5 million of nine people. So they got to get mad at him, man. He's taking a bigger cut than he deserves. But the conservative media, Fox News, went all in on pointing out the fact that Ketanji Brown Jackson was gifted $3,700 in Beyonce tickets from Beyonce. And maybe she shouldn't have done that. But as far as I know, Beyonce does not have a case before the Supreme Court.
Right.
She just gave it to her as, like, I don't know, the first black woman Supreme Court justice or something. So I don't know. But, like, it's like, this is all very deeply fucked up. And we're going to have to buckle up for a rough next few weeks because Supreme Court turns about to come to an end. And they have a backlog of cases they have yet to announce. They seem like they're going to save some of their most controversial cases for the end of the term. They're just going to, like, dump on the last Friday.
That's what I was going to ask is, yeah, is that the strategy? It's like you kind of just, like, overload us with shit that's going to piss people off, so it's hard to get pissed off adequately at each of them in turn. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, is there cases about abortion, guns, homelessness, union, social media, online disinformation, pollution, the administrative state, and of course, January 6th prosecutions. And part of the reason it's a huge logjam is because there's been a big change the way Supreme Court takes cases. A lot of their cases used to, like, be about obscure points of law they just need to reconcile about regulations and whatnot. But they've stopped doing actual judge work. Now they just take the most controversial cases because they want to do culture war bullshit. Mm-hmm. So then what happens is the opinions take longer to write because they get passed around longer for edits, and there people write scathing dissents, and then you have to write responses to dissents, and just everything, like, is another example of how, like, cultural bullshit just makes everything worse and not work. But yeah, so I'm sure we'll have more to talk about when a Supreme Court term comes to an end, because it's going to be awful.
Sure, it'll be fun and positive and optimistic in nature too. Mm-hmm. One thing I did want to say, and I'm not trying to give the dude too much credit, but I was just like, that same Windsor, that undercover activist or journalist, whatever her appropriate title is, that interviews these people, also interviewed John Roberts, right, Chief Justice, and she tried the same thing on him. She tried to we live in a Christian nation, and it's up to the Supreme Court to ensure that it remains appropriately Christian. And he actually, like, I guess he's just smarter. Like you were saying, like, this is what Alito will say to just a stranger. It seems like maybe Roberts is a little bit smarter than that or something, because he had he at least had enough, you know, sense or shame or whatever the right word is to push back. When she said that, he was like, no, we're not a Christian nation. We're Muslim and Jewish and whatever other nation. And also, that's not the Supreme Court's job. So I don't know. There's that.
Yeah. There's a certain, it's better than the alternative, I guess, but it's still rather him. I'd still rather John Roberts not exist.
Go away. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, me too. All right, our first honorable mention for Daily Dumbass is the public for thinking they have a right to know anything about the poor, downtrodden friends of one Jeffrey Epstein.
Would you declassify the 9/11 files?
Yeah.
Would you declassify JFK files?
Yeah. I did a lot of it.
Would you declassify the Epstein files?
Yeah, I would.
All right.
I guess I would. I think that less so because, you know, you don't want to affect people's lives if it's phony stuff in there because there's a lot of phony stuff with that whole world.
Like, why? What other reason would there be to say that, to answer that question in that fashion, like to basically put it out there? It's like, you know, because a lot of that could be bullshit and it might make people look bad. If you don't know that you're going to be part of the disclosures or whatever, you know what I mean? Like you're trying to prime the pump for, you know, people not believing it when it comes out.
Just to not let the JFK stuff go by. One reason, though, there's no deep state or their muscles have atrophied is like Trump is threatening to release facts about the JFK assassination. And he's still walking around upright.
Right.
But so Trump had, a couple of stupid rallies over the weekend. He went on an extended rant about the merits of being eaten by a shark versus being electrocuted. It was just too dumb to even bother. Like we've done the electric boat motor electrocute thing before. I just didn't want to like do a repeat. Marjorie Taylor Greene gave a talk where she said, here's the exact quote. If you think gas prices are high now, wait until you're forced to buy an electric vehicle.
What? How is that? But those don't take gas. And then if you're forced to have an electric vehicle, but gas gets more expensive, you're not going to give a shit on account of you got an electric vehicle. You know, I mean, I guess you're like, damn, this lawnmower is going to bleed me dry. I don't know. But yeah, that's I don't know. She's something else.
It's also like Trump's one of the biggest liars on the planet. But when he really hits for me is when he's honest. Like here, play this video, Matt. You can see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this is from like Phoenix or somewhere hot.
This is Vegas.
Vegas.
Yeah. By the way, isn't that breeze nice? Do you feel the breeze? Because I don't want anybody going on me. We need every voter. I don't care about you. I just want your vote. I don't care. See, now the press will tell you.
So Biden campaign immediately turned that into an ad, of course. But what he's referring to is like, so that was his second rally in Vegas. The first was in Phoenix, where a bunch of people got heat struck and were hospitalized. It was 11 in Phoenix and like a half dozen in Vegas. And like the reason they're outside is because no one will rent Trump venues anymore because he doesn't pay them. All right. So just imagine dying of heat stroke because no venue owner with an air conditioning room anywhere in the hemisphere will rent to like this dead fucking deadbeat. It's just like so goddamn funny to me.
I like
his rallies. I don't know if you've seen, like, he's using smaller venues. He can't afford them. Like, the crowds are dwindling. I've seen aerial shots from him
and stuff where it's like, it seems like he's maybe losing a little bit of steam.
Or he gives the same speech over and over again to people. One guy there had been to 250 of his rallies. I'm like, bro, you've heard the same speech 250 times?
Yeah. Fuck. It's like if I'd been doing the exact same hour since I started in 2016 or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People like, I wouldn't blame you for not coming anymore. You saw it. You saw the show. Yeah. So, it's the same show every time. Although he does, you never know when he's going to go on some, you know, truly unhinged shit that still actually hits for them. But I say we can make this quick if you want, but I this lady is fascinating to me kind of. So I sort of want to show it.
I want to save her for next episode. Cause she's worth talking about in detail. Cause she's hilarious.
Can I save her? All right. Yeah. Well then, we can save her. Sorry guys. You have to tune in next week if you want to see that.
So the Hunter stuff is extremely stupid. And it's a bunch of people including the justice system, making a big deal out of a crackhead, lying about not being a crackhead on a federal form, whatever. We'll get to that in a second. But like, everybody's gonna make a big deal about it. I guess we should like talk about it, but talk through what we think about it, because like, there are more reporters covering this than like it was a madhouse. I think maybe more than we're covering Trump's trial. And I watched an explainer like on NBC News talked about how they covered it. All right, and they had a team of four people. And they broke down their system for getting the news out as quickly as possible because it was on the third floor of the federal courthouse. So what they had was they had a runner in the courtroom who ran to the window and told him the verdict. And another guy had signs with each of the guilty or not guilty verdicts on for each of the three charges they held up in the window. And the woman down at the ground level on a phone was watching with binoculars where she was relaying the verdict, newsrooms around the country. And I'm like, why, you guys are covering this like it's a good JFK assassination? Like,
right.
Would my life be improved or ruined, affected at all by waiting 3 minutes longer to find out about the Hunter Biden verdict?
Right. But I mean, it's been asinine, you know, the amount of attention and scrutiny and everything he's gotten from the very beginning. You know what I mean? Like the sheer amount that all of us have had to hear about the varied exploits of Hunter Biden over the past however many years has always been kind of absurd. And then now that he's, you know, I mean, he was actually on trial and then got convicted, I'm not surprised that it was a circus. And but also that thing you're talking about specifically, like the idea that no one could stand to wait, like that you got to get the scoop. You got to be first. You got to be immediate. You got to be the first one on. It's like a larger thing, which is journalism in general. I was reading this like thing about sports journalism earlier, how it's like, would it really make a difference if, you know, we just had to wait till the official announcement 2 hours later to know who got traded where. But there's this like war of insiders where, you know, where they have all these like drama amongst themselves and stuff trying to get because everybody's got to be first just in media in general. You just, you got to do shit like this. Cause but it is dumb. It's all dumb and pointless, but
it's arguably dirtier in sports because they all work
their mouthpieces,
sports books or for companies that are in beds with sports books. So they're swaying odds by leaking stuff that turns out to be fake first. Right. So it's like, it's weird. We don't have to get into the whole woes versus shams thing, but yeah, it's an extremely funny thing in sports media. But like to some of the criminal justice system in general, I wanted to mention what happened yesterday in the Young Thug trial. And when Trump was indicted in Atlanta, I was like, okay, he obviously has some fucked up shit there, but Fannie Willis does not hit for me in general because she does shit like try to lock up rappers for their lyrics. And that's kind of what this case is about. So what happened yesterday was Young Thug's lawyer was like, hey, judge, I heard you had an ex parte meeting me and you met without me with the prosecutor, which is against the rules. And you guys were also meeting with a witness. The prosecutor's trying to pressure to testify against my client. And you were also helping him pressure the witness by threatening to be held in jail till all 26 defendants were tried, which could take years. And that's not cool. And the judge's response wasn't to deny it. It was just to say, who told you that? Mm-hmm. And then he held the defense lawyer in contempt. He got 20 days in jail for not snitching on who told him the truth. And this lawyer ruled, by the way, because he went to jail for his client and also his wife's representing him. And I got to say, find yourself a spouse who will file a criminal appeal for you after you're sent to jail with your client. That's kind of ride or die you fucking need.
For sure. He definitely seems legit in that way. Because didn't he also like request to be put in the same cell with Young Thug? So Young Thug's like he's not out on bail or something?
No, it's be held without bail.
Why? So, what? For?
I mean, trying to say he's... Yeah, he's trying to say he's a gang leader because he rapped about a murder and then a murder happened or something. It's fucking stupid. I think there was a car, like maybe one of his cars was used in a crime or something. But
this judge, like, if those things, you know, I'm law dumb, but I mean, I can see how, even to me, a law dumb person, that sounds like bullshit, what, you know, that judge tacitly admitting to doing. But if that's like explicitly against the rules and the whole world knows that this happened and then he put the guy in jail for it, like, and I know this is sort of the whole point here, but like, what recourse is there for that? Or like, you know, consequences for that? You know what I mean? Cause it's like, they just operate with impunity, you know, across the board and know that there's nothing that anyone else can, or at least will do about it. And it's upsetting. Been a lot of talk in recent weeks about how the justice system is rigged or whatever. And it's like, in a lot of ways and against a lot of people, it is, but not in Donald Trump's scenario and not in the way that the people who are saying that, the way that they meant, not like that.
Right. So but the only reason I brought this up is I want to point out once again that if a prosecutor decides to try to put you in jail, he's probably going to succeed at some level, even if you fight get an appeal over some bullshit years from now. Right. So that brings us to Hunter. All right. So he was convicted today on three felony charges related to the purchase of one .38 revolver in 2018. When he was addicted to crack cocaine, and the form says, are you a drug addict? Yes or no. And he just essentially checked no on the form. I don't know how they turned that into three felonies. I think it's like buying the gun, possessing the gun, something else, whatever. By the way, he had the gun for 11 days. He supposedly never fired it and he threw it in the trash, which is some crackhead behavior.
Yes, for sure.
And so he faces 25 years in prison for this. Possibly he won't get that. I seriously doubt, but like the fact that you face jail time at all over this is a bit of lunacy. And CNN interviewed a couple of the jurors, and they say, let me quote here, three jurors who spoke to CNN after they reached a guilty verdict said they believed they had no choice but to find Hunter Biden guilty because he was technically guilty of the things he was charged with, but said they questioned whether the criminal case ever should have been brought against the president's son. The case, quote, seemed like a waste of taxpayer dollars, end quote, one juror told CNN.
Right. I mean, so basically anyone who, you know, smokes weed regularly and then buys a gun, like, they violate this, right? Because if you didn't lie about it, you couldn't get the gun, at least. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and the whole line on a background check thing, just an anecdotal, and I'm sure this would not hear for this guy and I'm sure he would deny it, but I don't even know his name. But I got a top secret security clearance from my old job at the DOE. So I had to go through a thorough government background check. And the agent who was in charge of my background check, this subject kind of came up because I didn't lie. Like, I put on there that I had, you know, smoked weed in college and I had done drugs before, whatever, which opened me up to a whole other level of like scrutiny and investigation, you know, and drug tests. I had to go through a bunch of shit that you don't have to go through if you haven't done drugs before. And the dude, the agent in charge of it, you know, the representative of the government who does this for a living, like, he literally in the one-on-one interview with me, he goes, dude, why did you not just lie about that? He was like, it's literally what he said. He was like, everyone lies about that. He's like, next time you're in a scenario like this, just lie about that. Like, I'd say he literally advised me to lie and was like disappointed in me for having not lied. Cause you could tell, you know, cause it made him have to do more work too. And that don't hurt for people, but anyway, that's a little personal anecdote. That's what relevant to the topic here.
One of my best friends from high school went to the Virginia Military Institute for college, ended up working in being in the Air Force and being in intelligence. And he put me down as a character reference for his background check. And he called me and was like, hey, they know everything. I had to take a lie detector. Do not lie. They don't care what I did. They just don't want me to be able to be blackmailed over it. So I'm like, I'm supposed to say that we got high and you egged our Spanish teacher's house. And it's like, I was supposed to say they asked me if you shoplifted cartons of cigarettes from the grocery store we worked at, so you could sell them at school. I'm supposed to say, yeah. He's like, yeah. Okay, cool.
That whole part of it was wild. I felt so weird about that the whole time too. Cause like, you know, my like Salina buddies, you know, my redneck dude from fucking Clay County getting that call, being like interrogated about me. Like they were, you know, they didn't know what the fuck to think. Like it was just the whole thing was wild. But anyway, the guy also told me, he was like, we almost never deny anybody. Anyway, he was like, you guys had to do more bunch of bullshit because of you know, telling the truth. But even if he's like, it almost doesn't matter. He's like, hardly anyone ever fails. I'm like, all right.
So you had a system. You had a Q level security clearance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is the whole reason people think Q of famous QAnon lore knows all these secrets about deep state pedophiles because he has a Q level clearance, which was handed out to random people at Department of Energy. I just want to, it's like one of the reasons I'm real, like, in our modern media, media environment is like, I'm really interested in how things actually work in real life, is because once you let go of that, you sound like a babbling lunatic. Like, for example, here's Judge Jeanine on Fox News talking about the beginning of the Hunter Biden trial, if you have it.
Yes, I do. And make no mistake, juries do it all the time. And jury nullification means, okay, you know, they proved the case, but we don't want to find this guy guilty. So they'll vote not guilty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was counting when you were making comments. I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 jurors who have someone in their family who's had a drug or alcohol addiction problem.
All right,
or
pause someone it, died.
No shit. Like, it's supposed to be a jury of your peers, right? Like, you'd think so. Like, the idea that the 8 out of 12 people have some. Also, like, who does? Maybe I'm showing my white trash background here, but like, who the fuck don't have someone, you know, in their family or close to the close associates or friends or whatever who have struggled with addiction and shit? It's almost like it's a major and very prevalent problem in this country. So I don't know what that's even supposed to mean.
They also didn't say what substances. You're telling me 2/3 of any random pool of Americans has someone in their family who had a hard time quitting smoking or had a drinking problem. It's like, no fucking shit.
Right.
So whatever. I think so. Seeing nefariousness in that is one aspect of this, but you can let it play out.
from alcohol or addiction. So they have picked a jury that is sympathetic and understands the consequences of this kind of thing. But in addition to that, you know, you've got Jill Biden at the trial. But she wasn't just at the trial. She was at the selection of the jury. And I can't help but think that she was there trying to send a message. I'm here. She's got her arms around the family members there. You know, we're the Bidens. This is Delaware. So on the one hand, you've got
Every bit of that, everything, every word of that little piece she just said, like Jill Biden was there, not just at one part, but at the other part. And it's like she was trying to send a message. And the message is, I'm here. She's got her arms around everybody. We're a family. We're the Bidens. It's like, yeah, I think that is the message. You know what I mean? She's she's a mother. And the message is, we're a family.
I love my
supporting
son.
You. And I'm like, right. And so I think that's the message, but that's not what this lady means. She means a very different message.
I've never heard of anybody saying the Bidens run Delaware like a mafia, like a mafia family, but also the idea of being intimidated by Jill Biden is so fucking funny to me. So Hunter's been the center of this like right wing bullshit campaign for so many years now that it's like easy to forget. Like that's what jumpstarted all this. And they're doing it for the same reason they had a series of Benghazi hearings where they made Hillary sit through, just because they think generating a bunch of bullshit they know will create headlines will somehow damage their opponent's political standing, whether or not it has any sort of merit to it or whatever, anywhere. Anyways, that's how you ended up the target of this federal probe. And it was launched. What they complained about the politicization of the DOJ, I just want to point out that this investigation launched under a Trump-appointed FBI director and a Trump-appointed attorney general and held by David Weiss, a Trump-appointed U.S. attorney. Who talk about the difference between the two parties operate. You know, Biden comes in and gets to point all of his U.S. attorneys, right? So Merrick Garland's workaround was to make David Weiss a special counsel so you could have a full-time job throwing the book at Hunter Biden for some paperwork bullshit.
Right.
Because of a drug problem he beat 5 years ago. And Trump, we don't need to show this next video, but Trump went on TV and pressured the United States Attorney General to prosecute Hunter Biden just 14 days before the election in 2020. And also a reminder that Hunter had a plea deal in place for these charges. They were going to throw the gun charges out, but get him on the tax crimes, which also aren't normally prosecuted. And it was thrown out after Republicans had a bunch of hearings where they yelled at the U.S. attorney and when he was bullied by House Republicans. And then the Trump-appointed judge rejected the deal. Now, the judge had legitimate gripes because the way the deal was structured, it was like kind of unconstitutional because she was going to have to be the person in charge of like handling his like probation. They were trying to structure it that way. So if Trump won re-election, his DOJ would be able to just unilaterally throw Hunter Biden in prison. But that's not the judge's problem. That's Hunter's problem and the problem for American democracy. But like, so she had a legitimate complaint. But anyway, so Trey Gowdy, we almost showed this video last week. I called it off, but like Trey Gowdy, former U.S. Republican congressman who now hosts a show on Fox News, used to be a federal prosecutor and had this to say, which is verified by everyone and about how this case is utter bullshit. Here you go.
Your thought is about the difference between Trump trying to get a fair trial in New York City and Biden's trying to get a fair trial in Delaware.
Well, you know, Dana, I have this really bad habit, although I'm working on it. I try to be fair. I know there's a very small constituency for that. I think if it had been Donald Jones or Donald Trump or Donald Thomas, we would not have been in New York for the past several weeks. I think if this were Hunter Jones or Hunter Smith, you and I would be talking about something else this morning. So we got to get beyond treating people differently based on their political status or what their last name is. I did gun prosecutions for 6 years. I went after convicted felons. I went after people who were fugitives from justice. I went after lots of different people who are prohibited from possessing a firearm. But I'll bet you there weren't 10 cases prosecuted nationwide of addicts or unlawful drug users who possess firearms or lied on applications. I bet there weren't a dozen, which makes you wonder, of all the...
You got it, Matt. So what he's saying here is backed up by I did a little bit of research. And basically, when people are charged with this crime, it's usually because they're guilty of some...
Yeah,
they have some other awful conduct that the government can't get them on. So
right,
they have them for this
because that's how they do. That's how they operate a lot of time. But you like lump in charges together that you can, you know, when you want to get somebody and use whatever you can to, you know, to to nail him with it. So, yes, mm-hmm. most of the other times that these particular charges ever get brought up, there's some other larger context that's pretty important, which, I mean, is also true here. The context is that he's Joe Biden's son and all right. that. But like, legal context, I mean.
Yeah. So the other cases were like, yeah, that they had to break up organized white supremacist gangs. They, you know, they had got people on this charge. There's also like a mom of a six-year-old boy who shot his teacher, who pled guilty to this charge for basically buying a gun while she was on weed, because the government wanted to punish her for her kid shooting a teacher. It couldn't punish the kid, so that's what they did. Your mileage may vary on whether that's a good idea or not, but the fact was there was some other shit going on there besides just she bought a gun and also it smoked weed. There's also like a part of this that might be unconstitutional according to our conservative, you know, court system, because a federal appeals court ruled last June the government cannot ban those convicted of nonviolent crimes from possessing a weapon, and a federal court in Texas recently ruled, following a major Supreme Court case last year that expanded gun rights, that the ban on drug users possessing firearms violates the Second Amendment. So, again, Merrick Garland had to step in to keep this case going. Joe Biden's response to this has been to be like, we will respect jury system and the role, the verdict, yada yada yada, the normie institutional thing to say, which may not be the right thing to say. It's not totally accurate, which is why we're here calling bullshit and all this. But like, so Trump could have saved Hunter Biden a few different points here if he had been corrupt or not been worried about looking corrupt. Right.
You said Trump. You mean Joe?
Oh, it's a Biden. Yeah. Biden. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So he did this as an institutionalist to show respect for the system, to right. let his own son get run. I'm saying he threw him under a bus, but he let him get hit by a bus because of consequences of his own choices. Right. And what did he get for it? Here's Trump's press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, on Fox News.
To many on the left, they're now saying that the verdict is proof President Joe Biden has not weaponized the Justice Department against his enemies. On the other hand, Republicans, they strongly disagree, saying this case is misdirection to avoid going after Hunter for more serious charges of being an unregistered foreign agent. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree that this entire trial has been a major distraction from the real crimes of the corrupt Biden crime family.
Right.
So they charge Hunter with crimes to distract you from Hunter Biden's crimes.
Right. I mean, look, you can never win with these people. It doesn't matter. We all knew no matter what the outcome was, they'd find some way to, you know, mentally gymnast themselves into making it not hit for Biden or making him corrupt and it's a conspiracy and all that shit. Literally, no matter what happens. Having said that, like, I don't know. You tell me why I'm wrong. I kind of feel like Biden and the Biden administration, I sort of feel like they almost had no choice but to play it the way they played it in terms of, you know, in terms of being like, you know, we, like you said, we believe in the American justice system and we will let it play out and we will not get involved. Just because he's our family member and I'm the president, that doesn't make us any different. So we will respect the jury's verdict because this is America and that's how it works. And no, I will not mm-hmm. pardon him either. Like, I would have been shocked if he had done anything else. And I feel like I don't think mm-hmm. anyone would advise him to do so. Had he like stepped in and like overtly saved him or whatever, they'd be truly apoplectic. They're apoplectic anyway, but that's their state. Mm-hmm. That's their standard state of being is apoplectic, but they have even less of a leg to stand on than they normally do.
Right.
Because of that.
This other part of this is deeply funny that he was like, the only reason he got in trouble is because he was a crackhead trying to buy a legal gun.
Right.
If he had just bought an illegal gun, crackhead he wouldn't have broken the law. If he just like went to a pawn shop, fucking bought a gun, it would have been a case. This is all like so ridiculous. But like, so yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't know what the right solution is, morally, legally, or politically. But like the idea that the right thing here is letting your son get railroaded. And if he gets 25 years, that's fucking odd.
Like, surely ridiculous. To God, that's not going to happen. Right. Like, I mean, it's just like with Trump, there was, you know, everybody's, oh, it could theoretically be this, but it won't be, but surely that's the case here too. Right. 25.
I would assume
max,
not.
He's like a first time offender. It's there. Yeah. He should, I mean, he could even get like probation, right? Or like whatever, a few, I don't know, a small sentence you could serve on the weekends plus probation or some shit like that is like what should ostensibly happen, right? Dude, if they sentence him to 25 years, I mean, yeah, that's, then I will kind of care. But I feel like I would care if I heard that happen to anybody. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It wouldn't be a story if it happened to just a regular person. But if I heard that that happened to a regular person, I'd be pissed off about that too. Like,
right. But what is like, this goes back to the core idea, like where we don't even know what the criminal justice system is for anymore. Right. If like, is Hunter Biden a danger to society? Cause he doesn't own the gun anymore. He's not addicted to crack anymore. Right.
Right.
Is it like, do conservatives actually think that everyone should own a gun? Cause that's, they don't seem to believe that in any other context. Again, the conservative justices are saying that wife beaters should, like, you can't take away a domestic abuser's gun because that's a violation of your Second Amendment principles. Neither can you take away a drug addict's weapon because that's a violation of the Second Amendment. So like whose justice is being served at all here? And again, I don't care about Hunter. It's just like, I wish people thought about what the point of any of this was before we waste millions of dollars trying a guy for lying on a form about a gun he owned for, they never fired for 11 days in 2018. It's just like, this is all such a fucking stupid waste of time. But yeah, so like that Caroline Leavitt lady, it was not the only one. Everyone in MAGA world and conservative conservative punditry leaned into the idea that the Biden administration convicted Hunter Biden of this crime as a ruse to make Trump's conviction look more fair and also to distract from Joe Biden being involved in whatever Burisma was doing in Ukraine or whatever. Right. Let me quote here. The true crimes of the Biden crime family remain untouched. That's what Charlie Kirk said on Twitter. This is a fake trial trying to make the justice system appear balanced. Don't fall for it. Now, if you're Hunter and you're facing serious jail time, you're like, what's the ruse here? Right? Here's Stephen Miller, Trump's former like White House goon. DOJ is Joe's election protection racket. The gun charges are a giant misdirection. An easy out for DOJ to sell to a pliant media that's too willing to be duped. Don't be gaslit. This is all about protecting Joe Biden and only Joe Biden. Yada, yada, yada. A bunch of people saying similar shit. Again, they've had a bunch of congressional hearings about their other theories about Biden criminality and haven't found shit. So I'm not sure what they wanted to be charged with. But anyway, it doesn't like
that. The real reason that any of this even just happened is because like they were so desperate to find something to charge any of them with the whole time anyway, that it's like they had to have something. They got this and it was like, well, that's something. That's the only reason it's happening. And then for those people to turn around and act like that Joe Biden's like, I don't know, sacrificing his own son to
right. Then everybody was comfortable with a plea deal here until Republican congressmen bullied everybody into going to trial.
Right.
So like they threw him this piece of red meat and they don't like it or something.
I know. That's what I was thinking while watching this. It's like none of this would have happened if not for y'all. This is what y'all like wanted, but now that it's happened, you're calling this bullshit too and saying not to fuck. And it's just, I don't know. It seems exhausting to. I'm glad we talk out of our ass from this perspective because it seems much more difficult to do it from the other perspective. I mean, you know, on the other hand, the dumber, you know, some of the dumbest people on earth can do it. But I'm saying, you know, having to find ways to stay mad and move the goalpost as much as they do. Like, it feels like it would be exhausting.
Yeah. So Trump appointed a bunch of people to prosecute his political enemies or their children, which is what happened. Joe Biden didn't stop it because he didn't want to appear corrupt. So what we got was actual corruption instead of the appearance of it. And I do, this will connect in a second, but so Joni Ernst, evil, awful senator from Iowa, went on TV the other day and was talking about Beau Biden, Joe's other son who died of brain cancer, right? And she was talking about how when Biden consoles Gold Star families, he tells them he's also lost his son to war, all right? And she was talking about how that's a lie. Now,
it's the burn pits or that type of thing, right?
I don't know if it's provable or falsifiable, but like the Biden suspect that Beau got brain cancer from serving overseas in a war zone where they burn jet fuel and car batteries in pits to get rid of their trash. All right. A lot of people, the Congress has passed bills about it. This is a well-documented phenomenon that where we put our troops through fucking hell in the name of wars that didn't need to be fought. All right. So, that's what he's talking about. And it strikes to me that like I always say on this show, like that American exceptionalism is a hell of a drug. And Joe Biden has served up one of his son's lives, the American war machine, and another one to be to maybe turned into hamburger by the American criminal justice system in the name of love of this all this fucking bullshit this country does. Mm-hmm. And it's just like it's such a ridiculous nightmare. And like I don't know why anybody would want to do any of it. But like while Biden's on doing his solemn, we need to respect this horseshit verdict routine. Here's Sean Hannity over on the Upside Down for making a case I'll have to explain to you because it's too stupid.
And earlier tonight, this is huge, Judge Mershon from the Trump trial sent a letter to lawyers on both sides in that case, letting them know that before the verdict was announced, a Facebook user, I believe the day before the verdict, left a comment on one of the state court system's posts writing, quote, "My cousin is a juror and says Trump is getting convicted." Okay, was the fix-in from the beginning? Is
this a mistrial? This calls for a mistrial. Him with a straight face being like a Facebook user in a comment, and then that leads to this whole thing should be thrown out immediately because some random person on Facebook claimed to have advanced knowledge of the verdict. I mean, is there any? Is that person, has it been looked into? That person's, yeah. Okay.
It's a MAGA lunatic, self-professed right. MAGA lunatic who has, quote, professional shit poster in his bio.
Yeah. I suspected as much.
Right. So
made it on Fox News, though. Look at that.
So Joe Biden's like, yes, my son can go to federal prison over checking the wrong box in a form. And they're over there being like, Trump should be set free because a guy on Facebook said the jury trial was fixed. And right. That's the two levels of reality we're working at here. And yeah. The judge was doing his due diligence saying, yeah, we're looking into this comment. And then, of course, nothing's going to come of it because, again, it's some fucking dumbass on the internet. If you had to sum up the Republican Party in 2024 in like a log line, it would be like, well, some dumbass guy on the internet said.
Yeah. And now they're all mad. Right.
Yes.
I was actually going to say that when you said it a minute ago and I was going to point out like, dude, that's like their thesis statement or whatever. It's like, but, you know, this, but. Some guy on Facebook said this, and so now, you know, we're launching another crusade or whatever. That's like their, that's the whole thing. It kind of sums it up. Matt, if you've got a couple of comments for us, whatever, you can throw them up there.
Like and subscribe.
Look at that. You remembered. Mm-hmm. I did not. Yes, smash that like button, y'all. Like, subscribe to the channel. Share stuff. Tell your friends. Leave a 5-star review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. All that computer stuff. Do all that computer stuff. We appreciate it. And what did we talk about on the Patreon this Friday?
The main segment was about greedflation and how.
Oh yeah, right. Greedflation.
People, companies everywhere learning how to using algorithms to figure out how to gouge their customers, and everyone blames it on the government. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the future, baby. What a time to be alive. Speaking of which, it seems Matt may have perished behind the scenes. I'm not entirely sure. And he's frantically searching for a comment that's somewhat usable or perhaps praising him. Those are often. So, David C. Nichols says, great show, great host, great producer, great viewers, comments, great skews day after a particularly depressing day. It centered me. Thank you all. Onward. Thank you.
Thanks, sorry.
Good job, guys. Love like.
Sorry about your depressing day, David. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Loveless. Thank you. Yeah, David. Depressing days don't hit. But, you know, who among us? I listen to The National is what I do on my depressing days.
The testimony during the Hunter trial was so funny because he sounds like the world's most charming guy. Because people are like, yeah, he'd wake up the first thing in the morning and smoke crack. But also he'd play me songs from the Fleet Foxes on his phone.
A lumpy horse, the hitting type of horse, I suppose, on YouTube says, in all seriousness, can we pour more money into public education and fighting this information? That's where the war is happening. Yeah, and they're actively trying to, like, abolish public education as a concept. So, yeah, you're
The amount of people who don't have, like, 8th grade civics knowledge is, like, about what, like, the president can and can't do is, like, that person's right about the ultimate source of, like, all this stuff.
Yeah, Suzanne Smith says, bring the Daily Dumbass Farts back, Matt. I knew there'd be a civil war in the comments here, pro and anti-fart. And all kidding, bring the farts back, Matt. Kim Cusato, very prominent skewer. The fact that she said in all kidding, I don't know how to parse that. Yeah, I don't know. The fart debate will continue to rage, I suppose. So listen, thank you all for watching. We appreciate it. Go to TreyCrowder.com. Thanks to everybody that came out and saw me and Drew, and then me and Donnie in Virginia and Florida, respectively, this past weekend. I did a American Legion Hall in Tallahassee, Florida, and the people who are working there told me that, like, they host a Sons of the Confederacy dinner, like, twice a month or something. So, you know, appreciate them going the other way for once. But it was a lot of fun. A lot of cool people came out, and I'll be going Orange County, San Jose, Tulsa, Hartford. I got a New York City show, Brooklyn, coming up in July. So go to TreyCrowder.com, check out the tickets, come and see me. You can also check out me and Corey's book on there, Around Here and Over Yonder. And as we said earlier, if you want to get more of this show in your life, two more episodes a month to be exact, you can get that for $5 a month at weeklyskews.com/more. And it helps support the show and keep it going, so we appreciate it. Either way, you keep watching on Skewsdies, and we'll keep showing up. So love you. Bye. See you next time.